Thank you. If you have your Bible, open with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the seventh chapter. And we'll begin in the beginning. Now, we'll be dealing with the entire chapter, but just want to read a few verses to get us started. Now, it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would move us, Father, to the center of your will. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever just been sitting, letting things run through your mind, and then all of a sudden, wow, you had a good idea? I mean, a really good idea. And as you thought about it, it just became bigger and greater, and you got excited about it. As far as you know, nobody has ever had this thought before, but you had it, and it's a big deal, and you are excited about the idea that has come to your mind. You know, it's a wonderful thing that God has given us minds. Most of us have wasted much of ours. But sometimes God will allow a great idea to pass through. Benjamin Franklin was known to be a great thinker, and he meditated a lot. He let a lot of things run through his head, and he fell upon some good ideas. One day, as he was just looking around, he saw some thunder clouds, and he began to think. He remembered that there had been many fires caused by lightning strikes, and he was wondering how that could be prevented. And then it occurred to him that if he made a spire, an iron spire that was anchored in the ground, went up into the air, past the line of the roof, that electricity would be pulled to that spike and then would be grounded and the structure would be saved. It was a great idea. As he was thinking about the process of how that could be done, he actually put into play that he was going to have a spire made. He was going to have his own house protected. And so he moved in such a way to bring that about. And as he moved to put his thoughts together, he had another idea. What if I could bring electricity down? And he thought if he put a kite up in the air, and would fly it close to a dark cloud, that the power in that cloud would go into that kite, would come down, and he could bring electricity down to himself. And so with that thought, he moved to make a kite. And you know, we think of kites as being, you've seen pictures of the big kite that Franklin had. That wasn't the kite he had. He had a kite that was made of two sticks and a silk handkerchief. And there was a little bit of iron put on that kite. And he flew it on hemp string. Now, being a guy that didn't want to get wet, but he wanted to be in a storm, he himself stood under a protection of a cover, and kind of a porch cover, if you will, and he flew the kite. And the kite went up and up and up. He was amazed at how it was working so well. The kite was flying really well, and there was a dark cloud. The dark cloud and the kite, that's just what he wanted. He had tied a key on the end of that string, and he just waited. He was expecting some great burst of energy to come down that string, and he waited. There was no lightning. There was no flash. Yeah, I know, you've seen that key glowing in a bottle. That didn't happen. Nothing seemed to happen. In fact, he was really disappointed with the whole process, until he looked at the string. And, you know, hemp string has loose fibers, and all those loose fibers were standing up. And he touched the key with his knuckle and got a shock. And he found that what he had wanted to do, actually he was able to do. It didn't happen exactly in all the ways that he wanted, but he carried out his idea, and he found that electricity could come down. Now, Benjamin Franklin did not invent electricity. Electricity had been known of for hundreds of years before Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin wasn't even the first guy to bring electricity through a kite string. Now, he wrote about it, and a guy in France read his writings, and he was the first to do it before Franklin. He did, in fact, invent a lightning rod, and that lightning rod, even today, you will find on ships and boats to protect to ground it in the water. And some structures have some kind of lightning rod built into the structure to ground it safely. And so he did see those thoughts come to fruition, and he kept thinking and kept coming up with ideas. I am thankful for people that have had great ideas. I'm especially thankful as we move toward the summer for the guy that thought that you could cool off a building. I'm thankful for all the great ideas that have come our way. Our text today reveals that David had a great idea. His idea was captured in a desired plan. In verse 2, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within the tent." King David had come to a great time in his life. He had had a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of very, very hard days, and yet a lot of wonderful days. But he's in a good time. But you know, life is like that. Life will have its highs and life will have its lows. And maybe you're in one or the other of those, but if you find yourself in a time of peace, that's what David had found. He had found one of those wonderful times when he had rest from the hardships. What a blessing to come to this particular time. The scripture says, "And the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies." Think of it. David is anointed king when he's about 13. He spends the next 15 plus years of his life running from Saul, who wanted to kill him. Hiding out in caves, trying to stay alive when over 3,500 soldiers only had one thought, and that was his death. David stayed hid until Saul was killed in battle. Then David was anointed. He would be king over Judah, the northern kingdom, but he could not be king over all of Israel because there was a hindrance. One of Saul's sons had become king of the northern kingdom. David did not take action. He waited patiently. He fought the battles he had to fight. The king of the north was executed, assassinated, and David then became king of a combined north and south, all under the banner of Israel. At that moment, David ended up at war with the Philistines. Now, he had battled with the Philistines. That had been a victory, and he's resting. All the enemies have been defeated. Every particular struggle that he had been through seemed to be at peace. All the kingdom was at peace on the outside, and all the kingdom was at peace on the inside. Now, there are many times of turmoil in life, and maybe you're facing one of those right now. We have been through this COVID thing for over 2 years, and now we have been told that we can be around people without a mask. That's a great thing. As long as you are well and healthy, that's a great thing. COVID, we have been told, will probably stay around forever in some form, but the fear is beginning to subside, and that's a great thing. We're at a point of release and a point of blessing. I don't know how many of you I've heard say, I just can't wait till I can go outside without a mask on. And we're at that day. Isn't that a great thing? It's great to know that we have been in that period of super stress, and now that has been eased. Well, there are ups and downs. There are days of turmoil, but there are times when God will give you rest. There are times when the pressure will go down. And in that moment of rest, in that moment when those times come, when you have the good days, thank God for the good days. Trust Him in the good days and use the good days to get closer to Jesus. You see, the devil is really tricky. He wants us to be on edge all the time. He wants us to be doubting all the time. He wants us to be questioning God all the time. And so when things are good and we're not worried, you know what he'll do? He'll get us to worry about not being worried. He'll get us to stress about not having stress. He wants to manufacture things that aren't real, and we focus on those things that may not come to be, and we stress out on those. Can I tell you what to do when things seem okay? Praise God that things seem okay. A lot of us want to reach to tomorrow and after tomorrow and those days ahead when the sky is going to fall. Listen. If the sky's not falling today, just count your blessings today. You may die before the sky falls tomorrow. Don't be weary if you're following the Lord, doing His will, and things are bad. And don't be weary if you're following the Lord and things are good. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap if we faint not." Perhaps it was in this time that David thought and wrote Psalms 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits toward me. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who rescues your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Bless the Lord, O my soul." As David rested in this time, he just began to count the good things, to think about the blessings that he has had. Listen, sometime pull out a piece of paper and just start writing the good things in your life, the positive things that have happened. Oh yeah, there are negatives. There are bad things that you could focus on. But on this occasion, could I ask you to take a piece of paper and not put those down? Just to think of what has gone right. Where have you been blessed? I'm just telling you, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Just take some time and think about what Jesus has done positive for you. You'll be amazed if you can focus on that. Now, I know the devil will keep throwing other ideas in there. Don't let those get in. Just focus on what has been good. Focus on what has been a blessing. David had been given a great palace of cedar. You got to know that had to be comforting to him. He had been hiding out in musty old caves. Now he has a house of cedar. And he begins to think about God. He had a desire to do something for God. God had blessed him so much, he wanted to do something for God. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know Jesus died on Calvary's cross to forgive your sin, to save your soul. He was buried, he rose again, all for you. If you know that happened for you, shouldn't there be something within you that wants to do something to say thank you to God? Shouldn't there be something within us that wants to give back to God? You know, it really puzzles me when I see people who say that they're believers that have received a home in heaven, a promise of glory in the sweet by and by, that get real stingy when it comes to thinking about God and giving the tithe to God, just 10% as a token that God owns all through the local church. It seems to me if you love God, you should be thankful to God, and you would be overwhelmed with the opportunity to do anything to say thank you to God. So David brings up his desire to do something great to Nathan the prophet. You know, he's checking things out now. Even trying to do something for the Lord, he wants the Lord's guidance. And so he checks out with the prophet David. Nathan, who is his prophet, is a lot like any Baptist preacher. You have a church member come to you that wants to write a big check for the ministry. You say, well, you do whatever God has in your heart. You follow the Lord in that. And so that's what he does. He tells the king, go and do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. David had been thankful for the victories, thankful for his kingdom, thankful for Jerusalem. He was driven in that thankfulness to want to worship God. And as we talked about last week, you should be driven to have a desire to worship God. And I am more in this time of my life, I look more and more forward to the opportunities to worship God. And so David is thinking about all those things. And he looks around and he is in a house of cedar. And he looks and he's brought the ark of God up so that he could worship. But the ark of God is in a tent. And it just doesn't seem right to David that he should be dwelling in a house of cedar, a fine house. But the ark of God is in a tent. He wanted to do more. Shouldn't we want to do more? You know, I find a lot of church people are trying to get out of serving God. A lot of church people are thinking about doing less for God, not doing more for God. But that's not the attitude of somebody that really loves God. If you love Him, you want to give your all to Him. You keep looking for ways to move to please Him. Now, Nathan listens to him. He knows what God would want. He's not speaking for God, but he knows that the desire to please God is honoring to God, and so he tells David, go for it. David has a desired plan. But as he continues to look to God, he finds God has a directed purpose. In verses 4 and 5, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, shall you build me a house for me to dwell in? David has God on his heart and a desired plan to bless the Lord by building a temple, a grand place. But God's plan is different. Nathan is corrected in the middle of the night. Now, God knew the hearts of these two men were not wrong. The hearts of these two men love God. God knew that their hearts were right, but their direction was wrong. What we have here is something that has happened to a lot of churches through the years. The plans are made up for a building. They want to move forward, but the building permit is rejected. This time, the building permit is rejected by God Himself. Has God ever said no to you? If you are a child of God, I want you to know God answers prayer, and you need to be praying to Him. You need to be talking to Him. We should pray without ceasing. We should be carrying everything to the Lord in prayer. It is a blessing to be able to pray. Sometimes God will hear your prayer, and He will say, yes, that's what you're going to get, and you receive it just like that. It is a glory hallelujah moment. I have shared many of those moments with you, and we praise God for them. Sometimes God says no. Now, we don't necessarily receive the no with the same enthusiasm of the yes, but you know the no is just as much for our good as the yes is. Sometimes God says wait. Not now, later. In this case, David wants to do a good thing, a right thing, perhaps a needed thing. But God says, no. Listen, if you're seeking to serve God and God stops you or God prevents you from going in a certain direction, just know that God has something better. God has something better for you, something better that fits you. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want to do something that's wrong. Perhaps it's something that's not for you. Perhaps it's something that's not for this time. But just understand, if God says no, God has a reason. We are kind of better informed if we look to another passage on this particular situation, 1 Kings 8:18. Whereas it was in your heart to build a house unto my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house. God gives us a picture of the Messiah in verses 5 through 7. He says, all through the wilderness years, I have not had a material house. I have walked in a tent, in a tabernacle. John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the word tabernacle. Jesus did not have a house to call His own. He walked this world in an earthly tabernacle, His body, so that He might lay that body down for us. God didn't ask David for a house, but He does reveal how He's worked in David's life. He does help David understand that he has been blessed. God took David from tending sheep and made him a great name. When David slew Goliath, he became the number one hero in the land. Just from that one action, everybody knew the name of David. Then Nathan tells David of the future in verse 11. And the Lord tells you that He will make you a house. God says, David, you want to build me a house? That's really nice. But I'm going to build you a house. The house David would build would have been a place built with brick or mortar, perhaps cedar as his house. But material things pass away. God is going to build David a different type of house, a house that will transcend time and space, a house more like the house God has. God says, David, I don't need a house like you have. You need a house like I got. In verse 12, David's told that when he dies, God will continue his kingdom, and his son would build the temple, and his throne would be established forever. Immediately, this refers to Solomon. Solomon would come, and Solomon would be the one to build the temple. He says, my mercy shall not depart from him. Wow, that goes beyond Solomon. He's talking about one that will reign forever. 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King, invisible, immortal, unchangeable. That is Jesus. Jesus is the King who will reign forever. He is the ultimate Son of David in prophecy. In Luke 1:31, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Wow. God's directed purpose is better than David's desired plan. When God says no, it's because his purpose for you is better. And if we will follow God's purpose, we will be blessed beyond our dreams. And so David comes to a dedicated prayer in verse 18. "Then went David and sat before the Lord. And he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me here?" David shows no sign of being upset that God's got a better plan. He just humbles himself and says, "God, I'm going to follow you." He humbles himself and he says, "I'm going to go with your plan." David is at a loss for words. He just praises God. He just lifts up the Lord. He in verse 22, he just says, "How great thou art. There is a name, there is none like you. There is none beside you." In verse 25, he takes the promises of God and he prays them back to God. You want to have a prayer you know will be answered? You get a hold of God's word and you pray God's word back to God. You see, you know God's word is according to his will, and he will give that answer of yes to that prayer prayed according to his will. And so that's exactly what David does. In verse 28, David says, "Your words are true." Your words are true. My friend, I want you to know God's word is true. Every bit of it is true. And what God has said in his word, that if you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you will accept him into your heart, if you will allow him, he will forgive your sins, he will save your soul. And when it comes that your time on this world is over, he's got something better. And he will take you to his glorious home. That's in his word, and his word is true. God's victory for you ultimately is greater than any defeat you're ever going to face in this old world. Nothing can take it from you. Nothing. No one is more powerful than God. No one can get in God's way. And so we just need to bow before him. We need to allow him to have victory in our hearts and lives. We need to start doing things his way. We need to look for new ways to serve the Lord, new ways to honor the Lord, new ways to praise the Lord. It needs to be in our heart day and night, and we need to share the Lord every opportunity we have. And so if you are a believer, you got Jesus, you got heaven, you got glory, you got forgiveness, you've got eternal life, and you have Jesus, and he is greater than all. What else could you want? We need to bow our hearts. We need to bow our will. We need to say, "God, what's your plan? I want to be in your plan." You find where God is moving and you jump on and you move with him. Listen, I don't want to ever stand against God's desires. I want to stand with God's desires. And so perhaps today is a day when you realize that maybe you haven't been for God enough. Maybe you haven't served God enough. Maybe you haven't surrendered to God enough. And maybe today you just need, as a believer, to to rededicate yourself to the Lord. Just renew your commitment to the Lord. Just come to the altar and say, God, whatever you want, I am yours. I am ready. I am willing. Just direct me. That's what David did. That's what you can do. And if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, oh my, you are missing out on all that God has. Today needs to be the day. Today needs to be the day that you invite Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul. Today. Not any other time. Don't wait. Today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. None of us are promised today. None of us are promised tomorrow. And so if there's an inkling in your heart that you need Jesus and you've never invited him to save your soul, then this is the time. And if you're in this room, we encourage you just to come forward to say, I want Jesus. And if you're online, we ask you to go in prayer and invite Jesus to forgive your sins and save your soul and enter your heart. And then call us and we'll love to talk to you about what God has done in your heart and life. God has a plan for you. Move with God's directed purpose. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, Father, that you have a purpose for each of us, and we just need to surrender to it. Father, I ask that you would move within us. Father, for those that do not know Jesus, Father, I pray that you would burden their heart so much right now that they would know they need Jesus more than life itself, and that they would reach out and ask Jesus to save their soul. Father, for believers, that today would be a new day of commitment, a new day of surrender to your will, Father, to your purpose, to your way. And thank you for what you'll do as a result. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Would you come as we sing?